Welcome to Alaska Radio Reader Rambler, a monthly potpourri for the mind and interviews. I'm Sandy Harper here with my co-host Dick Reichman and our special guest Nina Kempo. Many of you might know her resume includes a record 18 U.S. national championships over a course of a 13-year international racing career, including the Winter Olympics and serving on the London Olympic Committee last year. Record-breaking 9-time winner of the Mountain Marathon race in Seward. But now, Nina has a new title, CEO for the Alaska Humanities Forum. Welcome, Nina.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. And first of all, maybe you tell us a little bit about your new title and how you got there.
Sure. So I'm now the CEO of the Alaska Humanities Forum, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year as a nonprofit organization here in Alaska. And we're one of the state councils of humanities from across the United States. And we do some great programs and work. We are a grant organization, so we give grants out to the community in the humanities. And it is actually a long story on how I got here. So obviously I started my career in sports and cross-country skiing and just absolutely loved cross-country skiing and had a long career. You know, when I finished skiing and went back to get my graduate degree in business, I thought it was going to be very, very difficult to find something that I was as passionate about as I was cross-country skiing. And I went into consulting and did consulting for Fortune 500 companies out of the Boston office of a global consulting company. Spent 3 years doing that, and then I really decided that I needed to actually work with companies that I think were more mission-based and more based in sort of something that was really doing something to make the world a better place. So I actually moved to Portland, Oregon, did consulting there for nonprofit organizations for 3 years, and but ultimately knew that I wanted to be back in Alaska, and ultimately knew that I actually didn't want to do consulting for the rest of my life, that I actually wanted to be part of an organization that actually was making the world a better place. And the opening in the Alaska Humanities Forum came up. It was a natural sort of a perfect fit for me. And what a lot of people don't know about cross-country skiers is we spend about 6 months a year in Europe traveling and living at in hotels and suitcases. We race 3 times a week, but there's a lot of downtime. And sort of the way I kept myself sane or way I cheered myself up after a bad race is I would go out in these small rural communities, oftentimes up in the mountains, and go to the museums and go to the sort of local coffee shops and really try to understand the culture and the history and the sort of sense of place of the communities that I lived in. And ultimately got a really, I think, great sort of education in sort of international humanities internationally. And so when the position for CEO came open this summer, it was just a perfect natural fit, and was looking to move back to Alaska because this is my home. And so it all kind of came together. The stars aligned, I guess.
Yeah, what a magical life you've had. It sounds fantastic. And I'm sure the same values that you do in skiing or any sport do apply to this job, you know, commitment and that kind of thing.
It really is true. I mean, everything I think you learn in sport, and that certainly I learned in my career in sports of setting goals, of assessing sort of how you've met those goals, of having a clear vision for where you want to go, for the discipline it takes to sort of do the day-to-day work, absolutely applies in sort of my new role at the humanities. I think the other piece that I really learned in skiing and that's really been important for me in this new role is the importance of teamwork. I can't do what everything that the humanities wants to do without my team behind me. And so understanding how important a strong team is also really a lesson that I've learned and taken with me in my new chapter in life.
Well, also the programs that the humanities offers to the citizens of Alaska are amazing. I mean, we could explore some of those and you can talk about that too. I'm particularly familiar with the Urban Rose program.
Yes. Yeah, it's a fantastic program. It's Sister School Exchange Program has been around for 8 years. It's served so many students, but it's a fantastic cross-cultural immersion program, which matches urban schools and rural schools in teams. There's, I think, 26 teams this year, but varies from year to year. And these teams, they first in the classroom, they study their own culture and what that means to them and how that's important. And then they study the culture of their exchange school. And then the forum funds a trip where we bring the rural students in to visit the Anchorage schools. They stay here for a week. They stay with their sister school. And then we take the urban kids and fly them out to the rural communities. And so trying to really sort of have them have a better understanding of how each other's lives are, both similar and different. And it's just a fantastic program. We've seen kids come out of it. We get anecdotal letters saying my child joined the Peace Corps based on this program.
Really?
Or my child travels more often internationally because of this. And so really trying to just sort of create cultural awareness and understanding of other cultures.
And also friendship and bonding amongst individuals would be exciting, too.
That's too. I mean, I had a teacher tell me that one of the students that had visited their school, it was a teacher, one of the students had visited their school 5 years ago, came back to visit 5 years later and stayed with her and went and saw the students that they had been on the exchange with. And so there is some pretty powerful connections that are made. And the students do a really good job. They blog every day and they record their experience sort of in a sort of blog-like diary. And then they share it with other teams and everyone's learning from each other as well. So
that's great. And of course, it's not just the students, it's teachers as well. And they then become a catalyst to make this go further.
That is true. Yeah. It's a great experience for teachers too. And we actually do a similar cross-cultural immersion with teachers. We have a program called ECCI, which takes 50 teachers from the Anchorage Fairbanks area. And we actually take them out to a rural cultural camp. As we see more rural kids coming into the urban areas, we saw this program as being really important as a way to educate the teachers in how to sort of deal with the different cultures that they're starting to see in their classroom. So we take them out to these rural culture camps, and they do things like go fishing or help go lift the crab pots, but they're actually there with the elders and the students in these culture camps, and they're learning a whole new culture and learning the tools that they then bring back into the classrooms and help them teach all different cultures of
students.
Well,
that's the great thing about Alaska. There's a cross-cultural exchange.
Yes.
And appreciation and respect for each other, and I love that.
It is, and it's really a unique in the way that the Humanities Forum works is very different than all the other states' Humanities Forums, because this is such a big topic in our state.
Of course, that would be unique to Alaska.
So it's really unique to Alaska. So when we go and visit with all the other Humanities Forums across the United States, people really are interested to hear about how we bridge sort of to the various cultures across the state, because they are wanting to bring that back and take that into their councils as well.
Right. And another program I'm familiar with is the Leadership Anchorage. That's terrific, too.
Leadership Anchorage is a fantastic program. It's been around for its 16th year this year, 16th class, and I believe you are a graduate.
I was in leadership, too. I still interact and friends with those folks.
Yeah. It's a fantastic program, and it's an eight-month program. It's both sort of education-based as well as sort of hands-on. There's a class every year has a class, and we really try to bring together a diverse group of sort of the up-and-coming leaders in Anchorage and actually now beyond, where we really put them in so that they're challenging each other and they're asking each other the hard questions. We have sessions where we bring in business leaders from the community, educators from the community to sort of present on leadership. But they also, throughout this whole eight-month period, do a team project together. So they really create that sense of team that you're talking about, Sandy, and they're building up. They're also doing a great service for somebody in the community. And then finally, the third component of it is we match them up with mentors, and they get a mentor sort of that is appropriate to the direction that they want to take their professional career. So we're actually giving them support in that sense as well. But it's a great program. I oftentimes just go sit in the back just to listen.
Our guest this morning on Radio Reader Rambler is Nina Kempel of the Alaska Humanities Forum. What is the general mission of the Humanities Forum, and how is it funded?
Two great questions. So the mission is really to enrich the lives sort of through the civic, intellectual, and cultural means of all Alaskans. But if I was really actually going to sort of talk more freely, I think it's really the core of the mission is about helping or allowing Alaskans to tell their stories. I mean, there's so many powerful stories in Alaska, whether it's through the cross-cultural exchange program and letting the sort of kids tell their stories to each other, whether it's through the grant program where we fund a lot of programs where we're allowing people to tell their story through just so many different means of the humanities, whether it be a movie or a book or
theater,
a project or theater, all of those things. So it really is just sort of getting the voice out of all Alaskans and really trying to help inspire the humanities through that effort. So that's your first question. Second question, also a good one. So we are funded, like all humanities councils across the United States, by the National Endowment for the Humanities. So it's a federal government grant. we also, I said, we're somewhat unique in Alaska in that we do a lot more work in the field of education. So we're also funded by some Department of Education grants as well. And then we obviously have some great corporate sponsors that have been great supporters of the Humanities Forum, as well as a lot of individual sponsors that are contributing to the forum as well.
Well, since you talk about grants, how does one find out about what grants are available and how might they apply?
Great question. So the Humanities Forum does give out grants every year to projects in the humanities, and we really are open to a wide variety of ideas. And the deadline as of right now is October 1st for the formal grants process. And then the grants can be dispersed out throughout the year. We do also have a mini grants process, which is a rolling process. Those grants are a little bit smaller. They're generally under $2,000, but we do grant those to people that have needs throughout the year as well. So, and you would apply by contacting Susie Buchanan, who's our grants director at the Humanities Forum, and you can get her address by going to www.akhf.org, and she's a delightful grants director. I don't think I've ever worked with someone who's better at it. She really helps each of the grantees make sure that their presentations are the best that they can be, and does a great job in helping to select the grantees.
You know, we were once a beneficiary, well, several times, but the main time was 2009 statehood. The forum funded five plays, Alaskan plays by Alaskan playwrights about Alaskan motifs. And that was very exciting, and we're still grateful. In fact, Dick, one of your plays was part of that, the big one. That was about the spill in Valdez, you know, and then Jack Dalton and Allison wrote a play, Time Immemorial, about the 10,000 years of Native history in Alaska. Yeah. Military component and historical component. So that really, I think, did meet the requirements of what you guys are trying to do.
Absolutely. I mean, what I love about the grants part of the work we do, what I love about all of the work we do, is it really does have an impact. I mean, I'm absolutely amazed what the grantees do with the $5,000 or $10,000 that we give them. They do so much, and they produce such great work. I just think of, we gave a grant to Kenny Lake School, K-12 school, And these kids came together, K through 12, and did a trilogy of movies that were award-winning across the nation. To the fact that we gave money to develop a website to help George Atla sort of tell his story and document that. Just the wide variety of what we kind of get to fund. And it's always such an honor for me to feel like the humanities can actually help in some small way and sort of have our grantees produce such fantastic products in the end.
Like your new magazine, that's a fantastic product. That's beautiful.
Yeah, the Forum magazine is something new. It really is an amazing publication, and I think we just seem to keep getting better. And at some point, we're going to hopefully never ever hit the highest end, but it's a great magazine. There's some great articles in there. An article about sort of growing up in Spinard, an article about George Atla, some poetry by our chair of our board. And so just a great set of articles in there.
And you can find more about Nina, too, in this particular edition. It's a wonderful story on you, a profile. So how often are you going to publish, and how can people get the magazine? It really is beautiful.
It is. So the magazine is available at the Alaska Humanities Forum at any point, and you can come down and stop by and get one. We're located on First Avenue in the old train depot building, which has now been redone. And you can also get it at Borders Books as well.
And maybe Barnes & Noble.
And maybe Barnes &
Noble. Had a demise.
I mean, Barnes & Noble. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Also, you can go to First Friday now, the Humanities Forum, too.
Yes, we're holding First Fridays now down at the Forum. They start at 5:30 every first Friday of the month. And we generally try to promote one of our grantees during that time. But they put up artwork on the walls and generally give a little talk about their project and what it meant to them and how what they've kind of produced from it. Just for one example, we had a grantee, Toby, who did a project on When Crab Was King from Kodiak, about the Kodiak kind of rise and fall of the crabbing industry. And he did pictures of their present self in black and white holding a color picture of them from 30 years ago. And then he had a little talking tour where you could actually take it on your cell phone and you could kind of go from picture to picture and actually listen to each of the people tell their story themselves, and it was a great event, and we had a lot of people come out for that. So just one example of why everyone should come down to the Forum for First Friday.
It just must be fun to open your mail to see what people are thinking about and what projects they're submitting. And do you get to go to site visits then? And
So far I haven't been to any site visits, and simply because I've only been at the Forum for 5 months, and we've been kind of working on a whole bunch of other things like budgets and strategic plans and all of that. But I intend to. Yes, I would love to go out and visit the grantees in their home space. I think that would be fantastic.
It would be a great fringe benefit. You know, Nina, I'm curious what you were like when you were a kid, because something gave you this spirit and this generosity and this drive. What was it like to be Nina, a kid?
I would say I was definitely a curious kid. And I, interestingly enough, had struggled with reading in the third grade and really had a fantastic teacher who kind of got me over that hump, and I'd say definitely changed my life, Mrs. Solomonson. And my parents say that I was driven, although I don't recall that, but they say that I was 7 years old. I came to them and I sat them on the couch and said, "We need to have a serious talk." And I said, "I want to go to the Olympics as a cross-country ski racer." My parents kind of looked at each other and looked at me and said, "Are you sure it's cross-country skiing? Because you're really not that good." Because I would often get last or second to last in a lot of the races. And they kind of tried to talk me out of it for a little while, but they said I was quite insistent. And I guess I started getting up and going skiing before school. And it scared my mother so much that she had to learn how to ski because she thought I was going to be trampled by a moose at Kincaid. So, but we then started training as a family, and
that's inspiring.
So yeah. I guess there was a little part of me that was sort of goal-oriented and driven from the beginning.
Well, Did you live in a place where people were cross-country skiing, or and you saw it as a child? Or,
well, I was here, so I definitely had a lot of great role models. I mean, growing up, I joke when I've lived in other cities is that in Alaska, you can throw a rock and hit an Olympian, or an Anchorage you can, and that's definitely not true other places. So so I had a lot of great role models that and then we brought the World Cup here when I was 14, and I went out to Kincaid and watched it and just thought, wow, that is the coolest thing. I want to do that. I want to be that good and be that fast. And so I did have a lot of great reasons to want to be an Olympic cross-country skier. And it makes a lot more sense than being an Olympic runner here. I bless Chris Clark's. But
well, you know, we came pretty darn close to actually having the Olympics here once, the Winter Olympics. And do you think we should try again, maybe?
We did. And, so in 19, it would have been my first Olympics, which was 1992. I think we got the U.S. bid. And then we ultimately lost out to, actually it was 1994, to Lillehammer, Norway. And it was unfortunate. I would love to see the Olympics come here. I think it's going to be harder and harder to bring the Olympics here. So I think we should do it sooner rather than later, just because it's getting to be such a big event, a global event. And the amount of people that are actually attending the Olympics at some point just get too big for
logistically
yeah. One airport and one
true. And maybe climate change, which I hope not. I hope they're not going to be palm trees soon.
Our guest on Alaska Radio Rita Rambler is Nina Kempel of the Alaska Humanities Forum. How many Olympics did you participate in?
I went to 4 Olympics. I went to the first one when I was my senior year in college. I had to decide whether I want to graduate with my class or go to the Olympics. And while I was humming and hawing about it, my roommate said, I think you better go to the Olympics because we want to come and watch you. So so I went to the first one then. And then I that was in Albertville, France. I went to Lillehammer, Norway, which is a fantastic Olympics to ski in front of a Norwegian crowd. I mean,
it's their sport.
It's their sport. there were hundreds of thousands of people there. Mm-hmm. I went to Japan, which was just a phenomenally interesting Olympics in a totally different culture. And so from the humanities perspective, that was a really interesting kind of interaction between the two. And then I finished in Salt Lake City, which was just a great way to end on home soil with a very kind of nationalistic crowd at the time and people running along with signs that say Go USA. It was a very appropriate way to end.
Very thrilling. Well, you know, actually, it does meld the Olympics and the humanities, because wherever they have the Olympics, they have these wonderful cultural expositions mm-hmm. and events as well.
Mm-hmm. And then what's really interesting is actually, even on the World Cup, each of the small towns in Italy or Switzerland or Austria or Norway, they're so proud to host the World Cup that they do the same and just on a smaller, less commercialized manner, mm-hmm. that it really was a great way to learn sort of about the history, the culture, the life, and the humanities from their point of view, which was really interesting.
Yeah, not only the host country, but they invite people from all over the planet to mm-hmm. share their art and culture mm-hmm. and theater. I just hearing about London last year was amazing. So what did you do when you were on the London committee?
So I sit on the U.S. Olympic Committee's board of directors. Mm-hmm. So I, interestingly, I interviewed for the position at the Humanities Forum, and they asked me to start earlier, and I said, I'm sorry I can't start because I have to go to London to attend the Olympics. And they said, all right, well, why don't you start right after that then?
That was a good reason.
But so the board of directors goes to London to do, one, to see the games and, you know, visit with the athletes, but also to do some help with sponsorships, entertaining sponsors, that kind of thing. So the U.S. Olympic team has what we call USA House that, we invite all athletes to come to. The gold medalists come to after they win their medals every night, but also is a kind of gathering place for our supporters, our alumni, our sponsors, and it's just a great addition, I think, to what we do at the Olympics. And we also have a retail store there where we sell all of the or not all, but a lot of the sort of clothing that the mm-hmm. Olympians wear, and that's always a great success as well. But we spend a lot of time there as kind of just making sure that that's running smoothly. And
that's
everything.
Wonderful. And again, great preparation for your role today. Did the Queen come visit, or did you guys get to visit the Queen?
So I don't think the Queen came and visited. Michelle Obama was there. She was unfortunately there before I was actually in London. I only went for the second half mm-hmm. of the Olympics. But Michelle Obama came, I believe a couple other sort of royalty came, but they were kind of before my time. So the USA House really is all about the athletes. So we each night we give out an award for the sort of sportsman person of the day. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it goes to a medalist, but not always. And so that's part of the sort of celebrating our athletes. And then we also have just started celebrating our coaches. So as well as giving an award to a coach at the end of every day too.
Oh, that makes sense, because they've all worked so hard to get to that moment.
And the coaches often go unrecognized. I mean, the athlete, if they win, they're obviously in the spotlight, but there's oftentimes a whole support group behind each of those athletes and that have worked for years and years as well. And to be able to...
Yeah, there should be coaches on some cereal boxes too, maybe. Yeah, I'm wondering, when did Winter Olympics start? You know, I'm thinking back to the old days of Greece, the original Olympics, but Winter Olympics, when did they start?
Oh, you're going to call me on my history here, Sandy.
Oh. I was just curious.
So. I know that they've been going on, I believe they've been going on since, I want to say 1914, but I might be wrong on that one, so I won't guess.
Okay, it might be 1914, but that sounds right. It sounds right to me. So, well, your particular sport, I think, is beautiful. I mean, you need all that permafrost and just the joy of it.
It is a great sport, and it's a great sport to do here in Alaska, which is one of the reasons why we were so excited to move back to Alaska. It's really fun to go out to Kincaid Park or to go to Hillside and just see thousands of kids out in Junior Nordic and just so many people out enjoying the outdoors and nature. And it's actually, you burn more calories doing cross-country skiing than any other sport, so it's also very helpful for
you. Where are my cross-country skis? That's also inspiring. And my husband was a downhill skier, though, mm-hmm. and he seemed to have some disdain for cross-country skiers. Is that true?
There's a little natural competition between the two disciplines, yes. But I think you probably... Most cross-country skiers is also downhill ski, so I think there's also a lot of crossover.
I bet there is. So what are you enjoying most, you know, about this new stage of your life?
You know, what I enjoy most about being at the – well, I really enjoy being back in Alaska.
Right.
I wake up every day and say, how could I have not lived in this beautiful town for – this many years, but I love looking up at the mountains every day when I drive home. But I'm also really enjoying at the forum. I just love interacting with the people that the children in our programs, the students in our programs. I love talking about. Talking with our grant recipients and just being able to see what they do with the money we give them. And I love working with my team at the forum. It's just a great.
And we loved having you here as our guest today, Nina. Thank you so much for sharing. And join us again next month for another episode of Alaska Radio Reader Rambler.